This is Rights.Tech. I'm Henrik de Gior. Today I'm speaking with Linda Berman. Linda, how are you?
I'm great, Henrik. How are you today?
Good. Linda, who are you and what do you do?
I'm Linda Berman. I'm the president and the CEO of L.A. Berman Associates, Inc. We're a small consultancy focusing on basically adding value to content. What does that mean? A lot of people talk about content value and monetization and things like that. Basically, we look at the whole content life cycle, but focusing on helping companies to develop strategy and implementation plan and integration with existing systems in ways that add value to that content through metadata and digital asset management, content management, and things like that, so that it's the content itself which has intelligence added to it through various ways of making the content more easily findable, more easily integratable, more easily reusable, and other things like that. I work with large companies primarily in various ways, and I'm also the past president of Content Management Professionals Association. I was sort of the originator and the first chair of the PRISM working group under the ID Alliance umbrella. I work on with rights standards and other metadata standards with a variety of groups, including the IPDC, ID Alliance, and other kinds of groups that do rights standards.
Linda, what are the biggest challenges and successes you've seen with rights management?
I guess I would start with the challenges. When I started the PRISM Working Group in 2000, one of the biggest challenges for magazine publishers, who were the primary stakeholders, was rights management. And at that time, it was mostly focused on images and images in print. And what they wanted to know was not just what's the copyright, but how am I allowed to use this particular image? Do I have the rights to publish it in multiple magazines? I mean, there were a lot more constrictions at that time. At that time, there weren't. You didn't have all of the multiple media platforms to publish on that we have today. But even then, it was difficult to come up with a small set of terms that would describe rights and permissions just in that very narrow part of the industry. The big challenge today is that people want to do much more with what they call rights management. What is rights management? Well, again, here's a term that means many things to many people. If you talk to lawyers, if you talk to permissions managers, they're talking about making sure that the content either has all the permissions it requires. They're talking about contracts. Is my contract good for my company? Does my contract take care of all the things that I'm allowed to do with the content? They also have contracts which are with the author or the creator. What are the royalties? Where are you giving me permission to use this? Do I have to put in attribution statements? All the rules that go with that particular piece of content. Many companies now, especially content companies, publishers, have what they call rights systems, which are helping to manage their contracts. Now, a lot don't. We're talking probably the biggest companies have good rights management systems, but those may and probably have nothing to do with the people who want to use that content, who want to reuse the content, who are trying to create new things with the content, or even publish it in a different geography, or to a different demographic, or to in a different language, or there are millions of variations, as you know, in the ways that content can be used. They're looking at usage rights. How am I allowed to use this content? The biggest challenge is to get the rights management systems, people and systems, to talk to the people who are using the content and to be able to exchange information about what are the restrictions on the content. Am I never able to use this piece of content except showing a museum portrait, for instance? Or can I use this content in any place, time, geography, and with no restrictions on the age or things like that, where it takes place, anything? There's that wide disparity between what I'd like to be able to do and what my contract with the creator of this content allows me to do. That's the place where the systems are, companies and systems are very challenged. And one of the areas that I've spent quite a lot of time is helping people simply manage rights or trying within a digital asset management system or a content management system. And that's done through metadata. But the challenge comes in is, first of all, can I use a standard for this metadata? Is there a standard that has the metadata that I need for my business? And can I exchange that metadata with other people, with my partners, with my advertising people, with all of the different partners that I work with? And then the other thing is, how do I get a broad enough set if I'm using manual labor to insert it? Is there any way of automating? So I think that that's where the really big challenges come in. And even today, I mean, while I expected people to have all of this sort of figured out probably 10 years ago, I mean, in late 2008, I did a project with Pearson to develop a company-wide right standard, which they were going to implement into all of their software systems. And I know that's still in progress. It's taking a long time because people have a lot of manual systems. A lot of companies still have contracts in drawers. They're trying to get those automated. They're trying to digitize. They're trying to create standard contracts, which is an absolute necessity to do any of this, because unless most of the process of checking whether or not a usage right and what it is automatically, there's going to be slow progress, and there has been slow progress. That being said, many companies have made great strides. I'd said earlier that a lot of companies already have contract management systems in place, especially if they're some kind of publisher, a book publisher, or news publishers, magazine publishers are starting to do that. But then when you get into retail organizations, marketing and insurance and all of the big in other industries where the marketing departments have to track rights and permissions, they're not so far ahead with contract systems. They're relying on being able to automate other kinds of systems like digital asset management systems to help them manage those rights. There are successes. As I said, some companies have developed, are either using standards that exist or have developed their own internal standards, relying to some degree on industry standards. And they're tracking a lot of information and really working towards getting the contract. Sometimes people had hundreds of different kinds of contracts, and they all had different rights, permissions, and restrictions associated with them. And now they're, you know, a big company will sometimes have 25 contracts now, which is a very, very small number compared to what they used to have. So there's a lot of success there. And I see a lot of companies participating industry standards efforts to try to make sure that they're going to be able to interoperate not only within their own companies, but with other companies that they share content with. As of course you know, again, one of the challenges is that, first of all, one company buys another company and then they have to adapt that company's systems, or they sell and the same thing happens, or they are syndicating their news, for instance, to a large broadcaster who then wants to use that content. What are the rights and permissions associated with that when the medium changes? There are still a lot of challenges, and I think that I'll talk about this later again, but I think standards really speak to those kinds of situations. One of the successes is that companies are paying much more attention to the issue of rights and permissions management, to licensing terms and understanding what they are and how to comply with those contracts. I see a lot of movement of interest in how to preserve those rights. The biggest place the focus is and has been for a long time has been photos. And I would say that while photos is still a very big issue, maybe the biggest issue, because photos are the digital asset that is most exchanged and used most often, I think, in every one of the platforms and media that we see. And then, of course, there's all the social media as well, which is not doing very well with rights management, actually. A lot of the social media is actually stripping off any rights metadata, which is quite worrisome. In fact, the IBTC just did a study, which you could probably look at, and I'll talk about in terms of resources. But it shows that many of the most used social media are stripping off all the metadata, including rights metadata. But there is a place that has been devoted to photo metadata for some time, and that's the PLUS initiative. And are you familiar with that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's one place that there's been a huge effort and considerable success in having a place that photographers can at least register their photos. Another success, I think, although perhaps you could call this a mixed success, is that search engines are a great deal better at locating what some people are calling orphan photos and being able to show that the rights metadata has been stripped off, in which case the owner of that asset, in particular an image probably, is going to at least get credit, if not perhaps payment, which would also be a good thing. I guess I'm seeing success in terms of a lot of effort in rights and permission standards, and I was going to talk about that later, although I could talk about that now. I think the amount of effort that's going in is really a big success and will help the industry enormously. But a lot of that is still in progress.
Linda, what is changing with rights management or needs to change?
Well, I think I talked about that a little in the last question. I think what's changing is that companies and individuals, to some extent, are paying much more attention to the fact that assets in most cases belong to someone, or that there are ownership rights associated with them, and that those need to be honored. The other thing that's changing enormously is that companies that publish content, whether it's a magazine company or a news company or a book company or marketing brochures of many types, are now being published in many, many more countries and in more languages and on more devices, on more types of platforms. That's a huge change in terms of what needs to be tracked and accommodated. So that you, first of all, the person publishing that content needs to add the intelligence which tells a system of whether or not it's allowed to be published in a certain language, whether it's allowed to be published in Asia, for instance, and in which country, and to which demographic. Some images, some videos, some content is restricted because there's a model of a certain age. In some countries, that model is allowed to be viewed. In other countries, there's a higher age restriction. And all of that is being contemplated. That's the really big change, is the wide distribution of content, both geographically and not just multiple devices, but in every form and format on all those devices. I see that as a huge change that is, I hope, spurring people to learn more about what rights are associated with that content and to track them and manage them in a way that makes sense for everyone, so that the value of the content is increased so it can be reused more often, and that the people who are supposed to get paid or get attribution get that with as little labor-intensive practice as possible, if that makes sense. The other thing that's changing, as I said, is that there are a lot more people spending time to create rights usage standards and to, I think, advise on rights management practices. And I think that that's a really valuable thing and will just move the whole aspect along. I think that rights management has been kind of a blur. People talk about it, they know they need it, they think it's important, but they really don't know where to start, and they can't sort of see how to stop their day-to-day rushing to get things done, to sort of intersperse the kind of checking that needs to occur into their production workflows. And I think that's changing. I think that people are learning more about how to do that, and that also the whole area of workflow automation and other kinds of automation within systems is improving, and that that's a big change in rights management as well. The other thing is that I think system software is just getting more capable, and certainly machines are getting faster, and the amount of interaction between software systems is improving. The ability to do that with sophisticated metadata and user rights is also improving, and therefore that also causes a change to the whole way of doing rights management.
Great. Linda, what advice would you like to share with people interested in rights management?
Well, I think the advice is that people need to go and learn more about what they can do as far as rights management goes. In my practice, I do presentations and tutorials and webinars and workshops, as well as sort of regular contracting engagements to help people learn about various aspects of rights management and to help them understand how it applies to their needs, because each company has different needs, they're at different places, and they need to start from where they are, first to learn what are the possibilities, and then secondly, how could they start with their own systems and figure out how to integrate them. If your digital asset management system can't talk to your rights management system or to your database, other databases, you're not going to be able to automate that, for instance. And that way, the whole process slows down and people get discouraged and then they don't move ahead as they should. The other thing that I would advise is to learn about the existing standard. There are a variety of rights management standards, or we'll call them licensing management standards. ID Alliance has PRISM, IPTC has RightsML, which is working with a standard called ODRL, which has now become a W3C track. And that's a standard, it's a rules-based standard that was brought out probably in the early 90s and has migrated and improved and is an accepted rules-based way of developing rights statements that can be automated. Of course, there's Creative Commons. There's other rights standards that need to be learned, and perhaps people don't want to use them, but although I would advise them to use a standard, of course, but at least learn about them so that they can figure out what is best for their own system. And of course, I advise people to learn as much as they can through, you know, any available workshops. Especially, I know certainly in my workshops, I always have a section where people in different companies share what they're doing. And I think people learn the most when they talk to their peers and are able to share their information and sort of ask for advice from other people. I advise that very strongly. And to obviously to listen to your new site and to talk to people who are involved in this part of the industry to find out what's going on and sort of what they can do based on where they're at in their own company.
Great. Question five. Linda, where can we find more information about rights management?
Well, there are myriad articles and references on the web. I don't know that all of them are valuable. Each one is going to speak about rights management, quote unquote, rights management from a different point of view. And that's a place to start for sure, but then to understand what these people are talking about or what whether or not their advice and commentary applies to your company, I would certainly advise people to go to the various industry standards that look at rights management, such as PLUS and ID Alliance and the IPTC, and I think I talked about Creative Commons and the W3C are all places that usage rights standards, licensing standards are being looked at. And then there are other companies that do rights management for a living, although it's often more based on the contract management part of it rather than the usage rights aspect. I think that's the, you know, the place to start. And then once you listen to various recordings such as this and look at some of those resources, you'll see people's names, you'll see companies whom perhaps you want to talk to, and I would certainly advise that and do a lot of research before you decide on anything and really bring your business owners and your IT people together, which is what I do when I'm working with a company, is you've got to have everybody in the company talking to each other and agreeing on not only how you're going to proceed, but exactly what you're going to call all these different fields in your systems so that your systems can talk to each other and everybody is happy and it doesn't break anybody's workflow.
Great. Well, thanks, Linda.
I want to thank you very much for giving me this opportunity to talk. Needless to say, I'm rather passionate about rights management. If you don't do it, you're going to be in trouble. And if you do it, you're going to have more control and value from all of your content.
For more on this, visit rights.tech. Thanks again.